Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for the hearts, Lord, that came out that just want to learn more about you, that wants to put you, Lord, in the center of their marriage, that wants to put you, that you are the focal point, Lord God. And Father, that without you, the marriage could not last. So Father, we lift this time up to you. We ask you, Lord, to be with each and every one of us today. We thank you for a beautiful day and a beautiful setting today here. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Hi, I'm John from Calvary Chapel, Green Bay. And I've been given the subject of partnering in the ministry. They're kind of, if you think about it, all I got to do is brag on my wife and everything would be cool, you know. But the Lord showed me some things as I was going through this study. And looking at other examples, like I said, in Genesis 18 and in Acts 18, we're going to be seeing Abraham and Sarah and Aquila and Priscilla. But I do believe that the Lord was showing me first, as I started this study, was an example with the very first couple. Okay, Adam and Eve. Okay, and we're just going to use this as kind of like a springboard for this session today. Okay, now all of us here sitting know the creation account. Okay, and in Genesis chapter 2, starting there in verses 8 and 9, it says the Lord God had planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man. Whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Now, if we jump down to verses 18 to 24, and this is where we'll stay a little bit. It says there in Genesis chapter 2, 18 to 24, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called them, each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she has been taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You see, the woman was not created out of the dust of the ground, okay, out of the earth, okay? Everything else was. Everything, the trees that brought forth the good fruit to eat, okay, came out of the ground. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and even Adam was created from the dust of the earth, okay? Now, but the woman, she was made from the rib, okay, from the rib of Adam, because she was formed for an inseparable unity and fellowship of life with the man. Okay? Now, we all know that the fall of mankind came after this. Okay? Adam and Eve, they were taken out of the garden. Adam had to work for his food. And we know that Eve would have pain through childbirth. Okay? Now, I truly believe that Adam knew what love was. Okay? In 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14, it says, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. This points out that Adam willingly ate the forbidden fruit. Okay? And I see, the Lord had showed me this, and I was like, wow. He ate of the forbidden fruit and was not deceived as Eve was. He was willing to sin to stay with his bride. Okay? To stay with his bride. But this gives us a picture right in the first beginning here of Genesis of Jesus, what he was willing to do and going to the cross for us. His bride, his church. Okay? It says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And we all know that it says he that knew no sin became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. See, Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Okay? That line or that excuse that he had given to God, that he used on God, okay? It was the woman that you gave me. That's all it was. It was an excuse for what he did. Okay? And if he didn't love her, he had the chance to use that line then. Okay? When he saw her with the fruit in her hand, that's when he could have used that line. You know? He could have said, hey, God, you know that woman that you gave me? Something's wrong here. Okay? Something's wrong. You know that one command you gave us? She broke it. Okay? Can I get another model? Maybe use another bone, okay? Something, okay? But no, he knew what he was doing, okay? He loved her. He knew exactly what he was doing. So by breaking that command, sin and death came into the world, and they started to multiply, and murder and polygamy right off the top was right there, you know? And then all sin, it came into the world, okay? But for some reason, man really distorts things, okay? And he distorts this union of marriage. You see, women were looked on or looked at as property back then, okay? And they were looked at as property. And for some reason, okay, or even worse, man thought that he had the right to beat his wife, okay? Now, even up into my childhood, okay, in the 60s and the 70s, all right, I witnessed wives being beaten by their husbands, okay? Especially back in New York, okay, where you have the old-fashioned Italians and the old, you know, people coming from Europe, and they came from Europe and they immigrated there. They had a habit of beating their wives. It was almost handed down. Okay? And I've witnessed this, and I vowed that I would never raise my hand to my wife. And this is way before Christianity. Okay? I vowed that I would never do it. To ever have my children see me beat her. Okay? No way. Okay? I've been there, I've seen it, and I've seen what it does. Wasn't gonna happen. Okay? And that was as a non-believer. Now, it says in chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 5, it says, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Not once did I ever read that Adam lived 930 years, and for 400 years, he beat and blamed Eve for what had happened. It's not written. Okay? We don't have that right. She was created to be someone comparable for us, okay? Now, Adam loved Eve, okay? And they took the judgment together, and they lived their lives. Man just messes things up, okay? Takes what is good and does what he wants. And that's the way it's been. Now, I just love the way Matthew Henry wrote this about Eve. Okay. Matthew Henry wrote, he says, she was not made out of his head, to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved by him. I think that was just fantastic, you know, because you hear sometimes, you know, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to kick Eve in the shin. Why? You know, why? You know, smack yourself. You know, you're a sinner also, like Lowell said. Yeah, you're a sinner. Okay? Now that we got this little snapshot of what God's original plan was for, you know, what that real couple looks like. Okay? We can look at some examples and some couples that were together in ministry to and for the Lord. Okay? And the first is Abraham and Sarah. Okay? We all know that God called him to leave his homeland. At the age of 75, he takes his wife and all their possessions, and they go to the land that God wanted them to go. Now, on their travels, okay, we have to admit, they both did some boneheaded things, okay? Abe, he tried to give his wife away to Pharaoh, okay, just to save his own neck, okay? Nice guy. And Sarah gave her young handmaiden to her husband to have a child. Okay? 75 years old. Young handmaiden. Figure it out. Okay? She thought she would help God out. But God had his own plan. Okay? But in all this, this couple picked up and they went wherever God told them. And when Abe thought that it would be best to even go down to Egypt because of famine, and I wasn't going to rely upon God, okay? They both, as a team, picked up and moved. They worked as a team, okay? Now, if you would, let's go to chapter 18 of Genesis, okay? We're going to start in verse 1 through 8. And it says, "Then the Lord appeared to him by the Terebinth trees in Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, 'My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant.' They said, 'Do as you have said.' So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf, which was prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate." Okay. So what we have here, okay, we have he's 99 by now. Okay. He's 99 years old and he just hanging out. Okay, hanging out by the opening of his tent, okay, in the heat of the day, maybe catching some, you know, shade under the tree, okay, kicking back, and his wife Sarah was in the tent. She's around 89, 90 years old, okay, they're not spring chickens here. And out of nowhere, 3 guys show up, one of them being the Lord. We see that Abe got up and he ran. Okay, he ran to them. He bows down and he pleads with them. "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, if it pleases you, okay, let me get some water for your feet and a morsel of bread. Then you can go your way, but let me do this for you, okay, Lord?" And they said, "Okay, you go do." Okay. Abe didn't just hobble off, okay? Like a 99-year-old man would just hobble off. Abe didn't. He ran, okay? He was excited. And I believe that he was just overjoyed that he was able to bless the Lord with a meal. Okay? And here at Calvary Chapel, we truly do know what eating is all about. Okay? We love to eat. We love to get into Word. We love the fellowship. And we love to eat. Right? So, this is all making sense to us, right? He just wants to be able to bless the Lord with a meal. He runs to the tent and he tells Sarah, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes. Now, Sarah, she didn't say, what do you mean quickly? Huh. I ain't got an oven. You don't see a microwave, do you? What you mean, hurry? Now, I really think that when she saw her 99-year-old husband running into the tent, she just knew that someone important may be outside and said, wow, if Abe was moving like that, okay, my husband must need my help, okay? And Sarah did it, okay? No questions asked. And then Abe, he ran out of the tent and he picked out the meat and he got the barbecue ready, right? Now, I got pretty much of a warped mind here, okay? And I'm kind of wondering if the angels that were under the shade of the trees and, you know, being with the Lord, may have said, hey, Lord, didn't Abe say that he was going to just get some water for our feet? Just a morsel of bread, you know? What's taking him? Okay? I know he's 99, but we just seen him run. So what's taking him? I could just see the Lord saying, just watch. Watch what my servant Abraham is going to do. Okay? He's going to bless us. Okay? Because the Lord knows everything. We know Abe enjoyed doing it. Okay? And that this is what Abe and Sarah did, okay? They blessed the Lord. They blessed the guest that came. Abraham, he set the food down, and it was a feast, okay? It wasn't just morsels of bread, okay? They had veal steaks, fresh, okay? They had warm bread and butter, okay? And he gave them fresh milk to go along with it, okay? Not your typical kosher meal, is it? Right? But it was a feast, and they ate. Okay? We know that Abe enjoyed doing it. Okay? It says in verse 8 there, it says, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. He didn't eat of it. He took pleasure in watching them and serving them. Okay? He made sure that their needs were met. Okay? It's the same thing also. We need to make sure that our spouse's needs are met. Okay? This husband and wife team, partners in life, had no problem serving the Lord, okay, in a moment's notice. Because they just appeared. Not at all. They had no problem with this. Okay. Now, if you would, we're going to move on and we're going to go to the next example. And it's in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 1. Okay. This is the next couple. We're going to see Aquila and Priscilla. And we begin. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came from them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and he said to them, "Your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So, what we have here, we have the Roman Emperor Claudius, okay? He issues this edict expelling all Jews from the city of Rome, okay? Aquila, and by his side was his faithful wife, Priscilla, okay? They packed up all that they had, and they went to Corinth. Were they Christians when they left Rome? It doesn't say, okay? We don't know. But we do know, okay, that they were together. And in fact, they were always together. One's name is never occurs without the other in Scripture. It's always Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila. For one thing, they made their living together. By trade, they were tent makers. Now, not every husband and wife can work together, okay? We have a hard time living together. Never mind working also together, okay? It takes a mature relationship to work closely under the kind of pressure that a business, okay, generates. But this is obviously the kind of relationship Aquila and Priscilla had. They weren't only mates and lovers, but they were best friends and they were companions, okay? They had to be willing to give to each other more than they tried to take. They enjoyed being together and working together. They were inseparable and they were equals. They were the example of what we went through of God's meaning of Eve being suitable for Adam. Okay? They lived this. Now, Paul came to work with them and even lived with them in their home during his stay in Corinth. If they didn't know Christ before this, oh, they sure would by now. Okay? With Paul there. These two lived together. They worked together. They suffered exile together. They came to know and love Jesus Christ together. And it made their marriage complete. Now, they were one in Christ. And his love made a good marriage even better. Aquila and Priscilla sat under Paul's teaching. Okay? Now think of this. Okay? A year and a half of intense Bible study. Okay? Under the greatest Bible teacher of the early church. Oh, how much Aquila and Priscilla must have grown, okay? And they did, okay? And I can tell you for 12 years sitting here, okay, and going through the Word of God, not only did I learn the Word of God, but there was examples set by the men in this church. Okay? And that's how we live by, too. We live by example. And that's what these men in this church showed me. And I love it that God is now sending the men out to do work for him. And this is what Aquila and Priscilla did also. Okay? They served the church faithfully. Paul would write in Romans 16, 3 and 5, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Also, too, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:19, he says, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house." Okay? They learned so much from Paul, and they took it with them. You see, after a year and one and a half years in Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla would pack up their business and accompany Paul to Ephesus, and they opened up their home for a Bible study. And we also know that this husband and wife team also had a discipleship group. Okay? While they were in Ephesus, they had this guy by the name of Apollos come in. Okay? Because it says in verses 24 to 26 in Acts 18 there, it says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollo, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Aquila and Priscilla went to hear him. Okay, they went into the synagogue and they went to hear him. And they were extremely impressed. Okay, his love for God, his knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, and also the way he spoke. Okay, now, they may have thought, okay, he could be mightily used in the service of Jesus, but all he knew beyond the Old Testament was the message of John the Baptist, which merely looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. Okay, but when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And they lovingly and patiently taught him the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world, his victorious resurrection from the tomb, and his glorious ascension into heaven. Apollos now got a good training. Okay? And he knew who his Lord was. And he learned it from this couple, okay, that was in the church. The necessity for personal salvation he also learned from sin by faith in his finished work, in Jesus' finished work, and the coming of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. And he also learned about the body of Christ. They were willing to take him under their wing and teach him correctly. God had this couple together, okay, to teach this man, to pour their life, their heart into him, to teach them Jesus, okay, partnering in the ministry together, okay. Priscilla and Aquila not only made their living together, they grew in the word together, and they served the Lord together. Churches in the New Testament, they met in homes. And the home of Aquila and Priscilla was also open to people who wanted to learn more about Jesus, and for Christians who wanted to grow in the word. You know, some of us, that'd be me, some of us will never be powerful preachers, okay? But we could be faithful students of the word, all right? And our homes can be opened to people whose hearts are hungry to hear the word. You never know. We may have the privilege of nurturing another young Apollos, okay? Who someday will have a wide and powerful ministry for Jesus Christ. Now, we know that there was a high standard of Apollos, because Paul would write, am I Paul, am I of Apollos, or am I of Cephas? So he was named there with them, okay? Apollos wasn't just a slacker, but he got a training from this partnering group, this husband and wife that just poured into him. And look at what they did. Look at what, and they just did it for the glory of the Lord. They didn't do it for self-recognition. Now, I'm not saying that me and Brenda are exactly like Abraham and Sarah, okay? Or like Aquila and Priscilla. But they are our examples, okay? So also is Lowell and Diane, Robert and Jackie, Terry and Copna. They are our examples, and we've learned from them. We've watched them. And they live to the word, and they teach the people of the word and how we ought to be living in this word with our spouses. Okay? These guys are also examples. I remember when I was in the hospital, okay? I was in California. They thought I had a heart attack, okay? Now, what I'm going to be doing is kind of like giving a little testimony type stuff because of partnering in the ministry and my partner. They thought I had a heart attack, and we were young in the Lord. Brenda, she was pregnant with number four, okay, my son Stephen. She came to visit, and I told her, you know, I've been praying. Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, and I told her, I believe he wants us to move to Wisconsin. Sounded like a good idea. But no, she whipped it up. Okay, and we were out of there. Okay, I didn't even think I'd get her out of Southern California. But now all we wanted to do was to serve the Lord. We were young in the Lord, and we just wanted to serve. We wanted to be obedient. Okay, so we went. Okay, our first 2 years we moved from Madison to Port Washington, from Port Washington over to West Bend, and that's where I met Lowell, and we became coming to Calvary Chapel in Milwaukee many years ago. Okay, still, all we wanted to do is serve the Lord and bless the church. Okay. We opened up our house for prayer meetings, for Bible studies. Okay. And we were still young in the Lord. We didn't know what we were doing. Okay. We were just giddy about, you know, doing it for the Lord. For get togethers. Okay. Whatever the Lord wanted to use the house that he had given us. Okay. We did it, but we did it together. It wasn't, you know, I come in with a brainstorm, you know, hey, 40 people are coming over, okay? And she'd, you know, walk out and say, good luck with that, you know. It wasn't like that. We did it together, and we loved doing it, okay? And there was multiple times people would just stop by. Just like Abraham, Sarah, okay? They just thought, hey, bro, I haven't seen you, you know? And like I told you, I had a warped mind, you know, saying in my head, yeah, there's a reason for that, you know, but, you know, well, hey, bro, you know, if you'd be at church on Sunday, you'd see me, you know. Quickly, I'd repent, okay? Okay, in that split second, just as much as, you know, hey, bro, how are you? Just been that fast, I'd have to repent. But Brenda, she'd always come over and, you know, hey, did they call? First, you know, nope. Okay. Well, what are we going to do about dinner? No clue. Okay. Whatever you want. Okay. Whether we're going to burn meat out in the backyard or burn it in the oven, whatever you want, that's what we'll do. You know, just let me know what you want to do. And it would turn out to be a blessing, though. Okay. Even though that they showed up unannounced or whatever, it would turn out to be a blessing. Okay. The Lord has always met the needs. Okay. We never, I don't know. It just whenever it happened, we never thought about it. Okay. Oh, we have to pay this. It just happened. And you know what? It was a blessing. And we'd laugh, but we'd praise God for his goodness and his provisions. Okay. I tell you, there's no better partner in the world for me. Okay. Than my wife. Okay, whatever it was, Bible studies, prayer meetings, get togethers, you know, she would graciously take who's ever kids along with my brood, okay, because I have seven of them, okay, and bring them down in the basement, keep them quiet, You know what I mean? And yeah, sometimes, you know, Jim Abrams, you know, but no, you never heard that come in the basement, but she would take care of him. And no matter what it was, okay, my wife would tell me, John, if that's what God is showing you to do, I got you back. Okay, I got you back. That's going to come back and haunt me, but okay, I got you back. But don't get me wrong, okay? Please don't get me wrong. I do not put my wife on a higher pedestal than God, okay? God is first, okay? Then Brenda. I don't know about the kids. I haven't really figured out pedestals for them yet. But she's not on a higher pedestal, okay? God is first. Lola's right. We married sinners. Okay? And with that, I know she's got you all fooled. All you who know her, okay? She's got you fooled. Because I would say, if I would say anything about my wife, I'd be beaten in a corner by, you know, the congregation or something, okay? But we do, okay? You know, that, you know, like, yeah, we'll get into argue if you get into an argument, like when I got into an argument back in 89 with her, okay? It's the last time I yelled at her, right? But no, we do, okay? But I tell you what, God has given me such a partner, okay, that I can't wait for the young ones that have gotten married over here, over here, over here, okay? Because I remember this is when you were here. You guys are gonna grow, okay? You're gonna have issues, storms are gonna come up, okay? But when you have someone, that partner, and you look at her as what we described earlier in Genesis, as that one who's comparable for him. Okay? She's comparable for me. The one that you're with is comparable for you. That is God's gift to you. Cherish that gift. Okay? Now, when Lowell called one time, okay, he called and he said, how about you and Brenda come on over for dinner? I want to talk to you. Okay? Plus my wife, okay. John, what'd you do now? Okay. Lowell wants to talk to you over dinner at his house. What did you do now? Okay. Nothing, nothing, I think. Right? And it turns out he wanted to see if me and Bren would seek the Lord and start the one-on-one discipleship study. Okay. Kind of blew me away. You know, I don't know if Terry knew that, you know, that's what Lowell asked me to do. What do you mean, John, teaching somebody? You know? Okay, one-on-one discipleship. We'll lose people, you know, what's going on here? But we did it and we had a blast. Okay? We discipled a few couples, you know, and we even got to pass the torch off to a great couple, Tim and Laurel. Okay? It's being together, you know, and we would do the study together, you know. And now that, you know, I'm up in Green Bay now, you know, and she'll ask me, you know, well, hey, what are you studying on? You know, what's your message gonna be? I tell her, get the CD at the end, like everybody else. There's not gonna kind of special privilege here, you know. But truly, good, fantastic partner. Also, when I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy, okay? I'm going on 13 years, and I never did become the poster child, okay? But I did become their lab rat. Okay? And my wife had to endure some bizarre things, okay? And she stuck with me. Okay, now you remember when Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, okay, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows, right? Such a one was caught up in the third heaven. Well, when I was talking about the bizarre things, okay, that going through as a lab rat, I can tell you this, the third heaven, I was not in. I was not in, okay? Only God knows where I was. Okay? Past the lull, smacking his leg as he knows. Past the lull, Pastor Terry can testify to that, okay? They came to visit me. And they will tell you, John's body was there. Okay? But his mind, not so much. Okay? Until this day, they still won't tell me what I said. All they tell me is, yeah, you were funny. Yeah, okay, it was funny. But never, okay? Well, what I should say is, but God has given me, okay, through all of this, God has given me a comparable helper to me, okay? And never did she, like Job, okay? Like I'm going through. Well, it progresses, okay? The disease progresses. And I'm not a happy person all the time, okay? She never said, you know what, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, I don't know if she ever thought that, but she never said that to me, okay? And I don't think that those words would ever come into her mind. But because I know she prays for me. I know that she loves me and takes care of me, okay? So when it comes to partnering in the ministry, I could ask God for no better. Okay? I'll tell you this. I could have never served the Lord if it wasn't for the suitable partner. But get this, that he has given me. Okay? I thank him for that. He has given me my wife. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward in their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Like I said earlier about Aquila and Priscilla, we're not exactly like them, okay? These two, they lived together, they worked together, and they suffered exile. Me and Bren, we lived together. We worked together in the ministry. Okay? We also worked together raising a family. And with seven kids, yes, two was better than one. Okay? But we cannot do this without Christ. Okay? We need to lean on Him for the help in the ministry and with raising of the kids. Because I tell you what, when we first started having kids and then we had seven in the house and you tried to become a Marine Corps drill sergeant and get them all in line, it don't work with seven individuals, okay? You had to throw that book out. They're not the same. They don't think the same. They're weird little people, okay? And they'll challenge you all the way. They will challenge you. But they're unique and they are a blessing. Okay. And when one of us falls, if she's down, when I'm mainly down, okay, the other one's there to lift the other one up. Lift him up in prayer. Okay. Just saying I love you. Because of that love and that passion that we have for each other. Okay. Whether it is in prayer for the ministry or an illness or even just a shoulder to cry on. Okay. I gave up that macho thing. I cry. If I have to, I cry. Aquila and Priscilla, they came to know the love of Jesus Christ together. So did we. We got married before we were Christians and we came to the Lord. Okay. It's not been an easy road. And like Lowell said, it's not daisies. Okay. You know, if you got daisies in your hair and you're flying around Jesus, you're on something. Okay. Probably something that the lab rat, you know, already have taken, but you're on something. Okay. But it can be wonderful. Okay. And it is wonderful when we serve the Lord together. And it also made their marriage complete. Okay. Now they are also one in Christ. We are too. The same is with us. With Jesus, our marriage is way more complete. Okay. If we didn't come together in Christ, okay, we'd be a statistic and not on the bad side. Okay. We'd be a statistic. And it made our marriage more complete. And now we are one in Christ. Okay. You see, in verse 12 here in Ecclesiastes kind of sums it up. Okay. With Jesus being that third string or that third chord. Okay. And his love for each of us made a good marriage and made it even better. Okay? It is true that with two of us, we can overcome anyone. Anyone. We can overcome anyone. Okay? Who comes up against us. But only in Jesus, as the third string, can we overcome anything. Okay? I have so much love for the person that God has given me. Okay? I'm good? I'm done. I'm over. Okay. I'd do anything to get the Marine going. So, all right. I am over. So, what I'll do is we'll leave it at that. Okay? But truly, okay, partnering in the ministry, Jesus being that third string, man, we can overcome anything that this world throws at us. Okay? And I'll encourage us all, get into the word, pray together, love one another. Okay? Not just saying it, but love one another. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we just lift this time up to you, Lord God. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't get shot. I didn't get anything thrown at me for being over. And Father, we do thank you for this day. Father, what a pleasure it was to come to Milwaukee again, Lord God, to the home church and just share my heart, Lord. Share what you've given me through your word in partnering in the ministry. Whether our ministry is our home, whether our ministry is our business, or in the ministry with you, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask you, Lord, to strengthen it. We ask you, Lord God, to let us just be so, so much in love with Jesus. So, Father, we lift this time up to you. We want to thank you, Lord, for the food that has been prepared for us, Lord God. And we want to thank you, Lord God, for the people who prepared it. Father, bless their hands, and we ask you, Lord, to bless the food to our bodies. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.